بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللانة الدامة الباقية لعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، we have been looking at Surah Al-Jathiyah, the surah after Surah Al-Dukhan. And the first two ayat were basically introduction to the Quran itself. And then we started the brief review of ayat number 3 to 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the concept of Tawheed, His own existence and His own unity. And we looked at the three different methods which is there in the Islamic theology of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is through the senses, referring to the scientific method. The other is by the way of the intellect and the reason, and that is known as the philosophical method. And the third is known as the way through the heart, gnosis or irfan. We talked about it, and when we look at these three or four ayat in the earliest ayat of Surah Al-Jathiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically using the first method, which is the most common method, the scientific method of knowing Him and appreciating His power and glory. We looked at the ayat yesterday, إِنَّ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that surely in the heavens and the earth there are signs for those who believe. Basically, there were five things mentioned here, actually six items. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those ayat talks about the heavens and the earth, and then He talks about the human body, and then He talks about the animals, and finally He talks in ayat number 5, about the day and the night, the rain and the wind. We discussed the first two items, the heavens and the earth, yesterday, and the human body also, looking at different ayat of Quran. I wanted to conclude this section tonight. Unfortunately, time is not going to allow us to do that. But very quickly, let me just go through this, see if I can... We talked about the movement of the earth around its own, you know, axis and the revolving around the sun. I wanted to show you a very, very short video. It's just probably just about less than a minute. Okay, it's not... anyway, we'll leave it for tomorrow. Time doesn't allow it anyway. Let us go to the next ayat, ayat number 4. وَفِي خَلْقِكُمْ وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِنْ دَابَّ آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. After talking about the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even in your own creation, you know, they are ayat, they are signs for the people who have certainty and conviction and yaqeen. We looked at this first phase yesterday when we talked about human body and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it and how He has created us in the ayat of Quran. We will go to the other part of this ayat, وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, and whatever animals that Allah spreads on the earth, in all these are signs for the people who have yaqeen. And when we look at this, it's interesting to look at similar ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran when He talks about animals. Many ayat, but we'll go very quick. Number one, the example of the camel. In Surah 88, He says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ, that do not you look at the camel, how it has been created, and at the heavens, how it was lifted up, and at the mountains, how they have been fixed on the earth. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ, and just look at the earth, out how it has been spread out. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides talking about the heavens and the mountains and the earth, is, you know, particularly talks about the ibil, the camel. Now we know in the Arabian environment where Quran was revealed, you know, camel was a very important animal for them. And basically, it's known as the ship of the desert. That was the means of transportation for them, especially its ability, you know, ability to go for many, many days without water. And so this was an important example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave for that environment and for the people who were the immediate audience of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another surah, Surah An-Nahl, He talks about the bee. Let me just read this ayat, this directly I'll go to the translation here. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ That your Lord revealed. Now, revealed here is not same as revealing Quran to the Prophet. It's not that Jibreel will go to the bee. It means that your Lord revealed in his creative command to the bees. Means he created the bees in a way that they would naturally do this, saying, and it doesn't mean in words, this is what Allah says to the bees, make houses out of mountains and out of the trees and the hive that the people build for you, and eat of all the fruits, saying to the bees, eat of all the fruits and then take the ways of your Lord back to your house gently. A drink of diverse hues, referring to the honey, comes out of their bellies. In it is healing effect for the people. Surely there is a sign in this for the people who reflect. And when you look at the bee, you know, I'm sure many of us have seen different, you know, documentaries, scientific documentaries about the way they organize themselves, you know, the social network and the cooperation that they have and the hierarchy and the leadership and how the leader is there, the followers are there. And these are all issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is saying to us that these are ayatun liqawmin yatafakkaroon. These are ayat for the people who reflect. And so I'll go back to what I had said yesterday, that for Islam, science is not a problem. Rather, science is a window into appreciating the power and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat upon the Ikbar. There are many, many ayat when Allah talks about the cattle, you know, the animals that normally we use for different things, whether it is for clothing, whether it's for food, for drink, for transportation, and many, many ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have created al-an'am, you know, whether it's a cow or the camel or the horse or different kinds of animals which with which people are normally familiar around the world. And for example, in this Surah Mu'minun, Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعٌ كَسِيرًا وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ You have many, many benefits in it. Besides the milk that you drink from its belly, there are many, many manafi', many, many benefits. وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ You also use the meat of that these animals for your food. وَعَلَى الْفُلْكِ تَحْمِلُونَ وَعَلَيْهَا وَعَلَى الْفُلْكِ تَحْمِلُونَ You use the ship in the sea as well as the animals as a means of transportation for yourself. And then in another ayat, for example, he says, وَالْأَنْعَامْ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْعٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تَرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Salawat upon the Ikbar. Yet it's an interesting way the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl talks about it, where he says he created the cattle. The cattle in them, in their hides, is warmth and the benefit for you, and of them you eat. There is beauty in them for you when you let them rest after a day's work. You know, reminding us that we control them. You know, Allah has given us power to control these animals, but we have to be, respectful towards them also. And when you let them graze freely, you know, there is beauty in this action of human beings. Then it says, they also carry your loads to cities which you could not reach except with great difficulty. Your Lord is indeed compassionate and merciful, because he has also created for you horses, mules, and donkeys so that you may ride upon them. And it is also an adornment for you. And he creates many other things which benefit you, but which you do not know. And so, ما لا تعلمون. And so this is where we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, even when he has created the animals which are of our use, Allah is saying, you know, and these are signs for you to reflect on them. Even in the ayat that we have, Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the an'am. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَ أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَكْ مَالِكُونَ. Human beings have been given the power to control the cow or the goat or the sheep or the horse. And وَظَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ. Allah is the one who had created this system that you control these kinds of animals for your own use. Moving further, in Nahl al-Balagha, you know, keeping this theme in mind, Amir al-Mu'min also has talked about various animals. The beautiful example we have is from the bat and the peacock, sermon number 155 and sermon number 55 and 65. You know, we don't have time to even go to a passage from it that I selected. But go and read it, and you will be surprised how, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen basically describes these animals in details. When he talks about the peacock, he says, you know, I'm not saying this from the stories we hear from, you know, if I may use the term, old ladies. Now he says, this is based on my observation. I hope the ladies don't be angry tonight. You know, I'm just using a common phrase used in our Urdu or Gujarati language also. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen uses the term observation. He says, this is based on my observation. And so Ali is actually telling us that you should observe, you know, things around you, whether animals or the heavens and the earth and whatever you see. Try to find an ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. And so this is again emphasizing that point, and that is the seerah of Amir al-Mu'mineen also. Next we go to the ayat ayat number 5, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about وَاخْتَلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ رِزْقٍ فَأَحْيَ بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. There are three things that Allah mentions in this ayat. Number one, he talks about the day and the night, referring to the concept of, you know, light and darkness. Then he talks about the rain, referring to the water. And finally, he talks about the wind, air. So light, water, air, these are essential things for our life. And this is what Allah talks about it in one ayat altogether, ending with the words, these are signs for a people who use their aql, their reason, their intellect. Now when we look at the issue of day and night, it's important to realize that we even talked about it yesterday when we talked about the rotation of the earth around its own axis. That how, you know, that brings us this concept of day and light. According to the Shia philosophers, when they talk about light and darkness, they say the actual reality is only light. Darkness is not an entity, a phenomenon. It's a relative phenomenon. Darkness means absence of light. Light is something real, but darkness is not something real. It just means absence of light. And so this is where, again, we see, when we see the rotation of the day and the night itself, how it happens is a point of reflection for the people who have aql, and this will, you know, become a window for them to appreciate the power and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One ayat in relation to this this concept is very interesting about the the Earth rotating around its own axis. We talked about the speed, and we realized that the speed of the Earth's rotation is beyond our comprehension. We don't even feel it, and that's surprising. And there is another ayat which I remember later on. I thought it's relevant to that. But Allah says, وَعَلْقَ فِي الْعَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ. These mountains around the world, on this globe, why are they? Allah says that, you know, He's the one who cast the firm mountains on the earth so that the earth does not shake with you. So the mountains basically are stabilizing the movement of the earth. And this is, again, a point of reflection for the people who would like to, you know, study more from the scientific point of view to appreciate the power and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the issue of وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, what He sent down, the sustenance, refers more to water. فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And through that sustenance, Allah made the dead earth again. He revived it and made it alive. And this is where we see the importance of water. There is an ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Every living thing in this world is alive because of water. And this process of, you know, dead earth, actually it refers to the seasons. You know, during the winter time, the earth becomes dead. And then again, spring comes in, and the earth becomes alive. And the rainfall has an important impact in this process on an annual basis. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even in this process that you see happening every year, again and again and again, is a point of reflection for you to understand His power and glory. And finally, in this ayat number 5, Allah talks about the winds. وَتَصْرِيحِ الرِّيَاحِ آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. You know, when He talks about the winds, of course, we know the normal process where winds and air becomes very important for us is the process of even this water that Allah is talking about. You know, the way the vapors basically come up, forming the clouds, and then it is the wind which pushes the clouds inward towards the land. And this is where, you know, then the rain comes in. And even the wind has many important things which happens to us and to this environment as far as pollination of the plants and the trees is concerned. And then Allah ends with this statement, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوحَ عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ. These are the signs of Allah that we recite for you in truth. Now, does the word ayat here refer to the verses of Quran or the signs that He mentioned in these 2-3 ayats before? It could be both. And although the word is natlu, to recite, but, you know, we have to realize when you look at the universe, and if you really study it, you are actually reciting and studying the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not in the form of the words in Quran, but it's there in this world. You can look at it, appreciate, and you will be led to the existence of the powerful and the mighty and the wise God. Salawat parne ek par. He ends by the statement, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. You know, after these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ayat, the signs, and the statement that Allah has sent down, you know, what are the things that you are looking for? Referring to the mushrikeen of Mecca, that they see the reality right there. Even the examples that Allah used of the camel is something which is familiar to them. And so Allah is saying, so what discourse will they believe in after Allah and His signs? You know, there is no other choice but to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me now end with this passage before we go to the third theme of Surah Al-Jasiyah tomorrow night, inshallah. A reflection on three words used in these 3 to 4 ayat. 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you see in all those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the heavens and the earth. He talked about the human beings. He talked about the animals. He talks about the water coming from up. He talked about the wind. In all these issues, Allah ends with the words that there are signs in it for you. But He describes three different words in three sentences. In one, where He talks about as-samawati wal-arz, it ends la-ayatin lil-mu'mineen. There are signs in the heavens and the earth for those who believe. Then He talks about the human beings and the animals, and He says there are signs in them for liqawmin yuqinoon, for the people who have yaqeen, conviction and certainty. And then He ends the last passage, where He talks about the water and the wind and the air. He says, لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, the people who use their reason, intellect, and their aql. You know, you had to think about it. These three words were not just, chosen arbitrary. There is a message there. And the message is very clear that, the first one is iman, the second one is yaqeen, and the third category is aql. And what it means is that, especially from the Shi'i Islamic point of view, it's an indication that our faith, our theology, has to be based on the power of reasoning, number one, as the foundation. And that power of reasoning will take us to the level of yaqeen. Only when you use your aql and the power of reasoning, you will have yaqeen. And once you have yaqeen, then you have iman. So you have that aql as the foundation. Yaqeen is the product of that. And the eventual goal is iman. But the question comes up, why did Allah talk about iman first, yaqeen second, and aql third? Although in my description I have reversed the process. The foundation is aql, then you get yaqeen, and then you come to iman. Well, the reason why Allah has done is because, aql and yaqeen are just means to reach to iman. Iman is the most precious, concept. And therefore Allah, in describing it, talks about iman first, yaqeen later on, and aql finally. So keep in mind that when we talk about Islam, especially from the perspective of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wassalam, our theology, our belief, and our aqidah has to be based on the power of reasoning. This will create yaqeen, and with yaqeen, you will get iman. Salawat pranayik para Allah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين.